Sing it, Jordan.
House is very close to you.
This is Jordan's ode to Opal.
Leave his place. And forget you ever saw my face. Dark lady laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one. Danced to her gypsy music till her brew was done. Dark lady played that magic till the clock struck on the 12. They told me more about me than I knew myself.
So I ran home and
called. That's enough of that.
You don't know that one?
I don't know that song.
How does she not know a Cher classic like Dark Lady?
Dark Lady.
Dark Lady. Our Opal was Dark Lady this week in Pine Valley.
Opal was Dark Lady this week on Pine Valley. This week on All My Children, our bright light, Miss Opal, reads the writing on the cards and sees dark days ahead. And so do I if All My Children doesn't get better.
The Hubbard from another planet. Jesse's mysterious past is mysteriously walking around the Hubbard hallways.
Who could she be? I don't know. People, it's an epidemic. First Spike goes deaf, and then Little Lay goes deaf, dumb, and blind.
And Susan, Lucci, and David Canary must have not gotten the memo, because they were clearly using last week's script for 90210 for this week's All My Children.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Oh, lovely kingdom in your hotel room. Your beauty is like a flower bloom.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
No chemistry.
Ryan thinks he does. Baby, I got some food rule up.
And what are you doing out there, young man? What are you doing? You're going to be grounded.
She is Erica King. Like, when she talks to the judges, she's just like, oh, really? Did you think that I didn't, that I wasn't slutty enough? I'll slut it up for you.
Adam's on contract.
I can't.
Meanwhile, Cody's on contract.
I can't.
Meanwhile, Dre, Black Hole's on contract.
Stop! It hurts!
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Call me in. Life is getting suspicious. I love you too.
And I'm really nervous about the future of our little podcast.
I'm telling you, I'm ready to go to the One Light to Live
podcast. It's not good. It's not good.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And even though we're getting to a little late this week, this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending October 3rd, 2008.
That's right. As of now, it's still the Pine Valley Podcast. Tomorrow, who knows? But
yes, it could be the Ugly Betty Podcast.
The Land View Podcast.
Or something.
The Dirty Sexy Money Podcast.
Listen, at this point, it could be One Tree Hill.
And it would still be better.
People, how are you? How are you? How you doing?
How's everybody?
How you doing?
How am I doing? I'm good. I'm not too pleased with All My Children right now.
Why?
I gotta say.
Feeling better?
Yes, I'm feeling a little bit better. I had a little irritation.
Irritation?
Yes, like a nasal infection. Just, you know.
Is that kind of like the feeling I get when I watch Greenlee and Ryan on my and Adam on my television screen?
Yes.
It's kind
something
of like that.
That. Mm-hmm. It just irritates you. It's just like it's very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got to tell you, I warned you all and I try to give Chuck Pratt a chance, but he is going into Megan McTavish territory.
Big time.
And I don't like it. I don't like the characters. Do not seem like the characters. He has them doing the most bizarre thing. And most importantly, right now, the thing that's irking me the most about his writing is two things. First, I hate the fact that Adam and Eric are acting like 12-year-olds. He is forcing the two characters together. It does not make sense. As much as I love David Canary and Susan Lucci together, this storyline does not ring true. And having them making out like 16-year-olds in the living room does not ring true.
I think Shadow, our friend Shadow from the blog, said it best when he said, old people sex? Ick.
No, see, I disagree. It's not about
them.
It's not.
I'm going to say it. I think it's icky.
Look, it's not about
it's
them
icky.
Being old.
It, it's
it's not about them being old. I don't mind seeing them make out. I'm saying, but the way they're making out, like two 16-year-olds in his living room sofa.
That's my point.
These are grown adults. And second of all, if they're going to be making out, first of all, there is too much history for these two to just get together like that. The last time that those two got together was when he found out that Haley was his daughter, and he begged Erica to help him convince Haley to accept him as a father, and she was trying to be a surrogate mother, and I forgot how because this is so long ago, but then somehow the two of them wound up re-getting married or something like that, and it was plausible. But this was before JR, his son, tried to kill her two daughters each. Like, come on. There is too much baggage and too much history for these two characters to fall for each other all of a sudden like that.
Tried to kill Bianca?
Yes, don't you remember JR pushed Bianca off that balcony.
Oh my God, you're so right. What is wrong with these people?
See, I'm just saying, like, it's just too, it's just, you don't know the character. Like, I just do not buy, and the way they're going about these characters hooking up is ridiculous.
I'm going to say it again because I do. Listen, I'm not trying to be old people, phobic or, what would you call it?
I don't know, but I like
not trying to be offensive to old people. I'm old myself. Very old. God knows I look older than Erica Kane. That's not my point.
You don't look that much older than Erica Kane.
I don't take that as a compliment. I'll tell you right now. The problem is that it's not sexy because it's not like when I think of like Adam and Crystal making love, I actually like it. They were like there's something more of more substance behind that storyline. If I want to see people just getting it on randomly, no offense, but I take me some Amanda and Jake any day. I'll tell you right now.
I
don't
know. All I know is that I'm not feeling it. And my second thing that I was going to tell you that I'm really even more pissed about is he does not know how to write for the Hubbards.
Chuck Pratt.
He does not know how to write for the Hubbards.
Oh my God, we took the subway here today, and he and Jordan filled me in on his astute observations about why, and Terry in Toronto, you mentioned this too on our blog, about why Chuck Pratt has fouled this up. Seriously, you go.
He has messed up the Hubbards in my eyes. He does not know how to write for them. I want Barbara and James back because she and him, James and Barbara, knew how to write for the Hubbards. Right now, Angie should be the modern day version of Ruth Martin for our generation. She is the Mother Earth. She should be that nurturing. And we were talking about this, and I'm not blaming Debbie Morgan as an actress and the choices that she's making, because if you don't believe me, just rent E's bio and you see that this woman was robbed of Best Supporting Actress for the Oscar, because she is a phenomenal actress.
She can act. Let me tell you,
it is garbage material that she is being given, and she has to play these scenes that are being over the top written, where she's screeching and hollering about her son going to war, and they're making her character look pathetic and weak. It's not Angie. It is not Angie. I'm going to get to Jesse because that's even worse. But what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that you cannot have her being upset about her son going back and not, but it's the execution, the way you're choosing to go about it. And they write her scenes like some screeching, harping mother, overprotective mother. First of all, the man is grown. That's another thing. And I hate, those scenes look so stupid when they treat him like he's 12 still. He's a man.
I hear you, but I like that concern.
No, but see, again, I'm not saying that I'm saying that there is room for that motherly concern. But the same way Ruth was concerned about Tad. But you never saw Ruth going up the wall going, rah, rah, rah.
Ruth was not a sister.
So, no, see, that gets to my point. See, this is why they don't know how to write for them. Because why is he writing Jesse as stereotypical angry black man? That's all Jesse is.
I don't mean Jesse, to imply that, but no, I'm saying. Yeah, but see, but that. But listen, I'm Puerto Rican, so I'm going to tell you right now. There is a way that you sometimes deal with things. We're more passionate people.
We're more passionate.
Puerto Ricans are more passionate, and African Americans are very passionate.
Yeah, and Barbara. And
I'm not saying all of them are, but certainly Angie's always been pretty passionate.
Yeah, but Barbara and James wrote them passionately. Why all of a sudden now is everybody in the blog saying that all Jesse and Angie seem to be doing lately is screaming because the writers are writing them like stereotypical.
I don't agree with that.
What? That you don't think that people in the blog are writing?
The scream comes out of Angie's mouth. She could control it.
But I disagree.
And so could
it's
he.
In the script. It's
and if
in
they're
the
pissed
script.
Off about the writing, they shouldn't yell their way through it. They should try to deal with it.
I don't know. All I know is
they're getting paid a good salary to do that crappy material.
I disagree. I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming the writers.
I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. I love them. I love them both. I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. What I'm saying is that you're right. The writing is poor, and they have to learn how to compensate for that. They can't just be screeching their way through these.
You can only do so much.
Her and Frankie scream at each other. They start at 11 when they start their arguments. It's like build up. up to it. Can I tell you something? What? When Taylor had that scene, was that this week or last week?
With Angie? I don't know, but that scene was good.
But can I tell you why?
Why?
Because Taylor didn't freak on her ass. Taylor didn't freak on her. Taylor talked to her. Why was it a bad word? Taylor didn't freak on her. Taylor was like calm and measured because she thought to herself, look, this is a mother that's freaking out over her son, and I get that. But she still had her point of view. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how do you know that the director didn't go up to Debbie Morgan and say, Debbie, I need you to act a little bit more black. So there. So you don't, that's what I said, you're blaming her and Darnell, and I'm sorry, I cannot put the blame on them, because if this was their choice as actors, why weren't they doing this when James and Barbara were writing for them? They weren't doing it then.
What I'm saying is that they're probably sometimes not making the best choices with very bad material. That's my
okay,
problem.
And let us talk about this
they
little
had better material.
Let us talk
with
about
her.
This little bombshell that they put on Jesse. I guess we got to do this as a spoiler alert.
No, let's talk. Let's talk.
No, but let's talk about what happened. What, they all
let's
know.
Let's talk. Let's start from the beginning. We got a recap to
fine,
do.
Fine, recap, because
beginning.
I'm pissed about this,
and
too.
It is very brief. It
oh,
is one
okay,
page.
Let's go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, girl.
Because I'm going to tell you, on Wednesday's episode, I took not one note because I hated all of it so much.
All right, go ahead.
I say that with love, people. I love the show. I wasn't happy on Wednesday.
Okay,
it was
recap,
boring.
Recap.
I will recap.
Recap.
So don't be writing me nasty emails because I said I hated the show. I hated it for one day. And I hate a lot of it, but I don't hate the whole thing. I love the whole thing. That's why I do this show. So leave me alone.
Will you recap already? Jesse tracks down Adam and threatens him to back off.
Listen, most of y'all are very nice to me. I got to admit. But some of y'all, I got one or two people that can't stand me.
Creepy.
Why do they listen?
I'm recapping creepy.
Why do they listen?
On Friday, Jesse gives Angie a foot rub.
But listen, that was good. But on Wednesday, can I ask you, why did Jesse go all gangster-like to Adam and play pool on his pool table and threaten the man?
Because the writers came down and told Darnell Williams, Darnell, we need you to be a little bit more black. It's stupid. It's horrible writing.
All right, fine. I hear you. But it was creepy and weird. It was like I didn't know this person on my screen.
It was stupid and made no sense. The same way it's stupid that a man who's been on the run for 20 years and now we find out was in a mental institution, was offered a position in the university, and is now chief of police.
And has a 25-year-old daughter.
And has a daughter who's older than his son.
That's right.
Wait, we were supposed to go spoiler alert. Boop. Too late now.
We forgot. That's not a spoiler.
Well, they didn't show him today in today's episode with her, so I don't think they know, stupid. That's what I'm saying. I was telling you, because I saw him. We're taping this on Monday. We're
it's
a little
not
bit late.
A spoiler. I read the blog. Everybody had a feeling. Everybody, it was either two people. It was either his daughter or his ex-wife.
I know, but the fact that she looked old enough, the fact that she looks old enough that people thought that was the ex-wife.
That's true. You got a point.
So his daughter's older than his son, so he was fooling around with.
I think it was Laura. Laura was so funny. She was noticing, because what basically happened was there's some chick, right? She's actually very attractive. She seems
she's
like she
very
has something
beautiful.
Going on,
she's
you
very
know?
Beautiful, but she don't look like she could be 16.
She
that's
doesn't
the
look
thing.
16. She's stalking around, and she's taller than him and Angie. She's stalking around the apartment complex, and Angie chats her up, and our friend Laura from the blog made a very astute observation.
What did Laura say?
She thought that Angie might have noticed that there was one other black person in Valley. And I thought that was very astute.
Well, but I would want to know is, I mean, I don't know. I'm from the Bronx, but if I'm walking in my hallways and somebody's hanging out my hallways that I don't know,
and
you
a
best
lot of
believe that my ass will be down to the super or complaining.
Didn't they have a friend by the name of Papel that they're supposed to be nervous about?
Yeah, but Papel's in jail.
But shouldn't they? I mean, for all intents and purposes, they should be a little bit careful in their daily life.
No, it's stupid that somebody. And then the fact that she looks a little bit like Jesse didn't even cross her mind.
She didn't look that much like Jesse.
I think this actress looks like she could be Darnell's daughter. She looks a little bit like that. In that aspect, I like. She looks a little bit like she could be Darnell's daughter.
Fine. I bet you that poor Yaya's all jealous.
We lost viewers now. They're going to be like, they did a spoiler alert.
That's not
a spoiler,
people. That's not really a spoiler because you all knew that it was
so
one of the
I was so mad that
people.
I didn't get a chance to go see Yaya on her show. You know, she got great reviews.
I heard about that.
I read all the reviews for her play. I forgot the name of it. A Hazy Shade of Winter or something.
But don't you think
that's the name of a song.
Because she would have had a better chance, I think, as this girl than as Cassie.
Well, yeah, because they wrote Cassie like an annoying, like the way Kobe was when she first came on the show.
She would have made a good.
Yeah, she would have. But you know what?
I won't say her name, even though I know her name. But y'all people know her name.
Who?
Jesse's daughter.
Natalia?
Why would you say that? You're going to get me in all kinds of trouble.
Anyway.
Now I'm going to get 3 hate mail letters this week instead of 2.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now why I don't like this storyline. Because there is no way in hell do I believe, no matter what Jesse Hubbard himself has been through, would he have a child and neglect that child for any purpose. Obviously, these writers do not know Jesse's history. They don't know not know how Jesse was brought on the show with his mother and then how he developed a relationship with his Uncle Frank and his Aunt Nancy and all that
he
back history.
He never become what he was.
I don't care how much trauma he went through, how much Papel beat him up, how much he was in an insane asylum. If Jesse Hubbard had a child, he would not abandon that child.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Period, period, period. No matter how much he loved Angie and Frankie, he would have showed up at that doorstep with his child.
Well, we'll tell you basically
what
happened.
So I don't like the storyline at all.
We had a nice Jesse-Angie moment. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We had a nice Jesse-Angie moment. We had him giving her a foot rub. She was loving the rub. I'm loving the rub. Keep on rubbing, baby. Keep on rubbing. And so was that was before the chick was stalking the complex. And Angie did chat her up. And the girl's like, says she's looking for a friend, blah, blah, blah. Angie comes out again. The girl is still there.
That's when your alarm should be going off. So this is stupid.
So then, in the meantime, lunatic Opal and crazy ass Crystal go to see Jesse. And they,
I like those new nicknames.
And they explain to Jesse that there is evil coming. I had a vision and it said it in the cards. There's evil coming, Jesse. Can you stop it?
Okay.
And Jesse says, well,
no, do it like Jesse.
I can't. Well, I can try.
Okay, now see, this is what I'm trying to get
but
to my point.
Then,
no, but this is my point exactly. Look. He writes them like stereotypical black people, and then he writes the country people like stereotypical mountain
bumpkins,
people.
That's right.
Like, I mean, I love me some Jill Larson. You people know that I have been rooting for Jill Larson. And as good
love
an actress
her.
As Jill Larson is, even Jill Larson cannot make this crap work.
Well, she's so this excited to have a role.
This
to
was
be acting.
Awful writing. It was over the top. And the fact that they had these scenes where she kept repeating the same dialogue for 2 days. Evils are coming! Evils
are coming!
Are coming! The gods are talking about it!
Very dark!
And then the fact that Crystal would take her so seriously that they would go to the house of the chief.
It's good comedy.
I mean, it's bad writing.
But it's awfully funny comedy.
It's over the top. It is nailing in what's coming. We know everybody's been reading on the damn. You show commercial. We know a tornado's coming. We don't need to hear it over and over again that evils are coming.
Well, we know what happened. We know what's going to happen. Because the second Opal and Quack, lunatic Opal and crazy Crystal leave, Jesse realizes that Opal has forgotten her purse. So he goes running out to the hallway. Madam Opal, you forgot your bag of tricks.
Then Opal was like grabbing her head like, I love me Jill Larson. But even though it was a bad ride, it was nice to see her.
But of course, Opal's not there. And of course, he runs into his, we already said
no,
what
no, Opal was there. He gave Opal the purse.
When he ran, oh, when he turned back.
Yeah, it's when he turned back right, and he saw Natalia, right, his right. daughter from nowhere.
And he says, no, you can't be here. You can't be here.
And then she put on a little smile like one of the little kids on All My Children and she said nothing.
Daddy.
And then,
Daddy, please love me, Daddy.
And then all of a sudden, today's episode on Monday, we didn't pick up with that.
I didn't see the episode.
I'm just saying we didn't pick up with
and
that.
And 69 picked up on it.
Yeah, we didn't pick up with that.
She sure did.
Jesse was back at work. This is bad writing, people.
Bad,
this
bad,
is what I'm
bad.
Telling you. Bad,
bad
writing.
Bad, bad,
bad writing.
Bad, bad,
this is reminding
bad.
Me of the second season
That's
of Desperate Housewives,
Gucci,
of Melrose Place, of Santa Barbara when it went downhill because of Chuck Pratt. That's all I'm saying.
When Gucci does BP on the floor, I go bad, bad, bad.
Let's go to this. Let's talk about Frankie.
Frankie. Oh, this is a storyline I know you love. I know you people will love this. Frankie meets up with a hooker. And she is a hooker with a heart of Nothing.
Because she's dead behind the eyes.
Dead behind the eyes. And also, she's a virgin hooker.
She's a virgin at making love.
A virgin at making love. And so she can't hardly be touched.
There's a difference between sex and making love. And making love. There's a big difference.
She's a virgin. I'm a virgin, Frankie. I have to take it slow or else I can't do it. I'll really freak out. I can't open myself up to anybody. For someone who's such virgin.
Do it again. That was too much feeling and emotion.
I tried to deaden it more.
Too much feeling. But I like the way your eyes lit up like her. Your eyes glitter like hers. Yeah, your eyes glitter like hers.
Damn.
She has pretty eyes.
All right. She's a beautiful girl. She's perfect looking. Absolutely perfect. She's probably, I would say the most beautiful girl on the show. Even more beautiful than Kendall.
I agree with you. She's hot.
She's not even just hot. She's like sculptedly beautiful.
Yeah, but you know what?
She can't act.
See, I was going to say, like, you know, I've been rooting for her, but I have finally come to the realization that no matter how many years she's on the show, it's not going to happen.
You know.
She does not have the depth for this kind. You know what? She needs to be on a show like 90210 because there she'd be brilliant.
She could shine.
She needs to do nighttime. She's more that.
You know what they could do?
It takes a certain actor to do daytime.
They could make her go shopping on the show. She could do that perfect.
Yeah, she has to go.
They could send her shopping.
I'm sorry,
people. They could have her eat lunch in the cafeteria. She would be good at that.
As beautiful as she is, I feel Randy needs to go.
Randy is not feeling so Randy, however. And so she tells Frankie she doesn't want to live with him.
No, she says that after Angie comes by and ruins the moment. She agreed to live with him. And then Angie stopped by and was like, "Ooh, look at your house, son." And she was all Florida Evans, good times. And then all of a sudden,
Did
I interrupt something? And then Randy got all nervous. And Randy was like, I can't do this. And she runs out.
You know, Randy's not really winning any friends in Angie. She's not even trying.
Do you care?
No.
Okay, let's move on then.
Okay, wait, but listen. We didn't talk about your favorite character of the whole show. Wasted talent.
Adam's on almost every day.
We get Carmen.
And meanwhile, we get 2 seconds of Carmen.
Here's my question for you. Any possibility that Carmen is Randy's mother?
Stop that. Stop shouting out my girl's real age. Stop that.
I didn't say her age. So what? She's 39. Who cares?
What? Do you want people knowing you're 49? No.
Listen, IMDb. I am not 49. IMDb.
She is 49.
That's a lie. That's a cold
She's
lie.
Not dead behind the eyes yet, but she's 49.
He cracks himself up, don't he?
Well, you know what? You know what I'm going to tell you about Carmen?
What?
This is a perfect example of bad writing. You have an excellent character and an exposition. There was so much funny, crazy stuff going on in the Chandler Mansion this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmen would have been funny to have her there with all that Annie getting mugged and you know what I mean? And no sign of Carmen at all.
But she's they so keep invested in her. Randy. There's got to be more to the story, right?
No, there isn't none.
There's not
stupid.
More to the story? She's what? So invested in this dead behind the eyes girl?
Look, all I could tell you
is... She's related to her.
Look, all I could tell you is that Carmen could have been used this whole week in all the shenanigans in China. She's a maid there, for God's sake. They never use her. And more importantly, you keep wanting us to buy this her and Jackson thing, and yet the two of them are never on. Bad writing.
I'm happy about that myself. That's one of the better things the writers have done.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on to Taylor.
Okay.
That's a good storyline. Yeah. Oh, no. You're a little missed, aren't you?
I already had told you that Beth Ehlers was not liking her in the last 8 years on Guiding Light. But I'm liking her on All My Children. I'm not liking the character. I still think that her and Frankie would be better suited for each other than her and Jake.
Well, should we recap this particular storyline?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's very easy. Frankie gives Taylor, who is begging him for a sedative because she's got an interview with the shrink to go back to the service.
Mm-hmm.
And did he not realize that the shrink was evaluating her for Iraq? No, right? Why would he give her this medication?
Because the writers needed a reason for him to give her the medication. So they had to have his character come across as stupid, like he doesn't know. This is what I'm talking about bad writing.
Are you serious, really?
This is what I'm talking about bad writing. I mean, Frankie knows that she has the post, that she has that, whatever they call it,
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
He knows that. And meanwhile, what happened with her foot injury that was so severe? They just dropped that altogether.
How are you so ass? astute.
Because this is the one storyline that I actually think could have such great potential, and they're even messing this up. There's too many holes. Frankie was the first one who spotted her having this thing. So the fact that now he's okay with giving her sedatives and that he's that not stupid enough to put two and two together, but Jake is, who isn't even like, you know what I mean?
Does anyone in our audience know Charles Pratt Jr.? They should send him this podcast.
Chuck Pratt should be fired and I should be hired.
That's right. No, I agree with that 100%. Well, anyway, so she takes this medication and she goes through the interview and it's like, first, a lot of us thought, we put on the blog, that we didn't think that they hired another doctor for her to talk to. Because it looked like she didn't have a doctor that she was acting opposite, remember?
Uh-huh.
But she did.
But I was going to ask you, was that the same doctor in those two different episodes? Because she looked different.
No, she was the same.
Absolutely.
African-American woman. And I like that choice. I thought it was a great choice.
Oh, because I thought it was two different actresses. Ladies. Because she seemed very, like, stern in the first one. And then in the second one, she didn't have glasses and she looked different. I thought it was
a different
actor.
No, it was the same. It was the same? Yep, okay. For sure, it was the same. So, at first, we never saw. So, then towards the end, we finally see her. And then, you know, Taylor's, like, breezing through this interview. And I liked it. I thought it was kind of good. She was so happy. She was breezing through.
No, it was good. I'll tell you what I had a problem with. Keep going.
And then, like, then we get, and I'm going to incorporate a little Jake and Amanda, obviously. Then we get Jake and Amanda talking about their relationship. Why does Amanda always have to settle with the boys that just want to have a little toy? Why does she always have to settle for being the boy toy?
Because that's her character flaw.
Bull crap.
There's a lot of women out there that make the wrong choices. She's one of them. That aspect I can believe. She falls for the wrong guy. I believe that. That I don't have a problem with.
I'm choking because it's so upsetting. A little Chrishell style's too perfect.
What I don't get is the fact that she likes Jake so much, and yet she's telling him that she kind of just wants to take it easy and let it flow.
Because she's full of crap. She's pretending that she don't like him. She's pretending to do the whole friends with benefits thing that she doesn't do very well. Just like with Jonathan, she said she was up for friends with benefits, and then she got all hurt.
So in other words, she's like a real woman.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say real woman. I should say real people, because men do the same thing.
She's like a real person.
You know what it is? It's like, it's always the one that you want doesn't want you, and that the one that you could just be like F buddies with, they always want more from you. That's the way life is.
Well,
it's sad.
They do commit. Like, it's a little bit more adult this time. They do commit to being open and honest.
Yeah, but Jake isn't being honest.
Hell no.
See, this is again me getting a little irky with them destroying my characters, because I really like Jake. But if you're going to be playing Jake like a dog, I'm not going to like that.
Because
he knows he likes Taylor.
It was so funny. This week, I was so happy to read on the blog all the notes, because I literally took like hardly any notes because I was so bored and kind of disgusted. Shadow pointed out that Jake is up to about 4 rings, 3 necklaces, and 2 bracelets. I thought that was pretty astute. All right, so
he's very the village people.
Very much. Now, Taylor joins him and she's still a little loopy. Now, Jake, the podiatrist, the pediatrician, the brain surgeon, the heart surgeon,
OBGYN,
the infectious diseases surgeon, he knows that she's on drugs. How did he know that?
Because he's Jake.
Ay, ay, ay. So something happens on Wednesday. I don't remember what happens, but she goes psychotic in front of the doctor, right? What happened? Do I need to talk about it?
This was my problem with that episode in this scene, is because we saw her 1 minute, and that was so badly written and badly edited, because it went from 1 minute where she was calm, and the next minute she's freaking out with the doctor, and we didn't see the in-between. Right. I didn't like that. See, this is what I'm talking about. You have a good storyline with a good actress and a good character, and y'all effing it up. Yeah, effing it up by bad writing and execution. I was like, where is that missing scene? What triggered what did the doctor say to trigger this? That would get me more invested.
I think they take for granted that we would think that she just came down off the drugs and had like a reaction or something because she was coming down off the drugs or something.
No, I don't.
Well, anyway, she is all freaked out and she almost blows it with the psychiatrist.
Right.
She doesn't quite blow it, but the psychiatrist knows, sees her unstable.
Yeah, the psychiatrist is like things that make you go,
Yeah. So Taylor comes home to find a smoking hot Amanda making love to Jake in an army uniform. Now, she is so perfect and smoky hot. it makes me crazy. How does someone be so perfect?
I know, but again, it's wasted because you know the Jason Lovett Taylor, because that's what the writers want.
No, and they're slowing that storyline down.
Yeah, and by whose request? Did you read that article in the Daily News?
No.
Ricky Paul Golden in the Daily News 2 weeks ago made a comment about the fact that the writers had written a scene where he was supposed to kiss Taylor, and both him and Beth Ehlers were the spoke up about it and said they did not want to do the kiss because they think it was rushing it. See, this is what I'm talking about. The actors have a better sense of what their characters should be doing than the damn people who are writing the show.
All right, I'll give you that.
This is, I mean, I was glad to read that. I was like, thank you, Ricky Paul Golden and Beth Ehlers, for realizing that this is pushing too fast.
Well, Amanda is on top of Jake, smoking hot. She is about to do her thing, and Taylor walks in, and she just has this look on her face. And you see the little name thing, the name tag on the jacket says, I forgot his last name. What's his last name?
I don't know. Monroe.
That's it. And so Taylor looks like she's going to go ballistic. And I wanted her to go ballistic. See, you didn't, I didn't. But I did.
I think it was more elegant to play it like this. My only problem with that scene. My only problem with that scene is that she came in, and I would have liked it better if Amanda would have already been up so that immediately Taylor saw the bra. What the way they made it seem was like she was in a drug haze, and she was like a pervert watching the two of them go at
They always do that on All My Children.
I'm like, why are you like making Carmen, Taylor like a perv?
Just like Carmen and Jackson.
Taylor's walking in like a perv watching the two of them go at it.
Do you remember when Carmen and Jackson were making out for like an hour, but while Erica and Adam looked on and they didn't hear anybody? So stupid.
It was very, that aspect of it I didn't love.
It's obvious. It's like my friend Dear Captain Obvious. You ever see that online feature? Dear Captain Obvious writes me very nice, very funny column. Does a advice column for like all the soaps. Like the soap character write it, and then Dear Captain Obvious gives the obvious answer. All that stuff. It's really great. You should check it out. I think it's www.dearcaptainobvious.com. Anyway, it's so obvious, and they make it so obvious, and that's what's frustrating, is that they continue to insult our intelligence every day, and it drives me crazy. But here's what drove me a little more crazy. I still don't think all of you, please don't hate me, please, but I don't know that Amanda's up to the role that she is in between these two incredible actors. I just feel that way. That's me. You hear what she said to Jake when Jake explained Taylor's deal?
What?
She says, oh my god, I was using her dead fiancé's uniform as foreplay.
Yeah, but that's her character. That's not her being a bad actress. That's her character would speak like that. I disagree with you. I think I would prefer...
She doesn't have the depth that these two other actors have. I'm sorry. There's no way you can tell me she does.
I would prefer a Jake-Amanda Greenlee triangle. Let's move on because
I still love Miss Chrishell Stel.
You're irking me. Move on. Who are we talking about now? I just get it, girl.
I'm not kidding.
I just get it. Because you're not just in my Chrishell.
All right, fine. I'm sorry.
We have to breeze through this because we're running out of time today.
All right, we don't have to do it. It was the only thing I could complain about was Eddie and Ryan.
Well, let's go with the short stuff. No, let's talk about Baby Jar.
Let's get through this crap, because it is crap, believe you me. All right, before they can decide where Emma goes, Jesse and company have to investigate, okay? They go to see Adam, and then, so Jesse has his one cop go to see Adam, and Adam realizes that he could lose it a little late by being careless about the gun, so he changes his story. He turns on Annie. He's done with Annie, all right? So meanwhile, Annie argues with the social worker, Ryan, and it's just the whole brouhaha, and it makes me freaking crazy. And then Greenlee and Annie go off, and, you know, Annie basically says F off, and she starts to get that deep hatred for Greenlee now again, remember? She's back to hating on Greenlee.
Well, I like the Friday before that episode when they first burst in there, and Greenlee grabbed her, and she goes, I'll get you arrested too. I was like, woo, go insanity. That's my baby. I was like, that's right. You tell Greenlee. She was like, get your hands off me. I'll get you arrested too. I was living for Annie.
Well, I have to say, one line I love this week from Ryan, and I didn't love many things that came out of that man's mouth, but the one thing I did like was when he walked by Annie in the jail, and he scowls. She looks at him as if she's going to talk to him, and he scowls at her. I'm not supposed to come within 50 feet, remember? Loved it because of the restraining order. So I like that. So Jesse tells Annie that Adam has changed his story, and both realize that they have to hand Emma over. So Annie somehow agrees to let Miss Kendall have Emma rather than put Emma in foster care. Now, can I ask you a question? Does this make any freaking sense at all?
No, but it's All My Children.
All right, fine.
Yes.
Annie has another line of note that I liked.
You may steal my husband, but I will die before you raise my daughter. Excellent. And then all this other brouhaha goes on. And then the tunnel suck Annie in.
What?
The tunnel sucked Annie in the tunnel.
The Chandler no, tunnel. No, David Hayward grabbed her.
But you know, it made it look like it was the tunnel. It was the tunnel.
Whoop, whoop. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. That's
not. Also, everybody knows that David Hayward's running around. Everybody knows David Hayward's running around Chandler Mansion.
Yes, like a sicko.
Looking at his grandson, little A, because the new little A doesn't recognize his grandfather.
It's been like weeks now. How do you think this man is getting nutrition?
Well, I don't know. Being that Winifred's no longer the maid there, and Carmen's never there because she's off with Jackson every night instead of working, goes right to the kitchen.
And I would think he would be afraid to eat there because that's where his beloved Dixie died from peanut butter pancakes.
Well, he's avoiding the peanut butter pancakes.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so she thinks Ryan is having her watched, right?
No, yeah.
Oh, and poor Insani. She wore that green dress. She had a little belly bloat. You cannot do that to an actress.
Oh, my Lord.
You can't do that to... You can't put them in a sweater dress. I don't care if they're a bucko, too. You can't put an actress in a sweater dress. It shows her little pooch.
Anyway.
Especially if it's, you know, around that time.
Anyway.
God, I'm just saying. Anyway. So what the hell happened with Greeley and Ryan that they're looking deep into each other's eyes? And he says, I can't do this. And she says, yes, what are you talking about?
Are you talking about the episode where he gets naked and jumps into the pond?
Right before he gets naked and jumps into the pond.
And she's like taking a bath?
Right before that. They have that thing where he finally says to her, I can't take it. You're too amazing, too beautiful. I love you too much. Well, you can't be my friend and be this and that.
I'm sorry. I was hung over the toilet. Projectile vomiting.
Yeah, I got a little bile in my throat. Projectile vomiting. I got a little bile in my throat too.
So unbelievable, this storyline.
Well, I don't know. I just think, I mean, the whole thing got a little boring for me. So I'm so bored with it. I don't even know if I can go on with the actual recap. Greenlee runs out. She bitches to Kendall. Greenlee blames Kendall for the fact that Greenlee wants to have sex with Ryan.
It's your fault that I want to have sex with Ryan.
It's all her
It's all fault. Your fault, Kendall. You made me want to have sex with him.
Absolutely. It's absolutely true. And then Emma comes down, and Greenlee had a nice scene with Emma. I never seen her like that with kids. Uh-huh. She did good. But then Annie sees, I love that. That was dangerous when Annie saw that. Woo-wee. And then Ryan tells Annie he's going to file for divorce. And then Greenlee and Adam go to Fusion and they see Ryan. And we all know it's going to happen, except we don't. Because Greenlee proceeds to break up with Ryan in front of her husband, Adam. Oh. And it's all awkward.
Awkward.
It's just disgusting and revolting. And just like this whole storyline. And then Annie had somehow called Zach about Emma, so Zach invites her over to see her daughter, which Kendall somehow has a problem with.
Because Kendall's a biatch.
Complete biatch. Zach kisses Kendall just to shut her the hell up. And I like those scenes.
Well, I don't know. I guess Zach ain't giving it to her right.
I don't think so.
Because she's cranky.
She's very cranky.
He ain't laying it down right. I don't think so.
He's doing such a great job, Torsten K, because I look at him and he's so frustrated with this.
He woman. Looks like a frustrated Scottish-Irish man who wants to backslap his wife.
He just doesn't know what he got himself into. Some days he's like, what did I get myself into?
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
The guy from The Simpsons. Groundskeeper Willie.
He cracks himself up, don't he?
He sounds like you don't watch The Simpsons?
No.
You don't know who Groundskeeper Willie is?
It's not part of my 87 show repertoire.
He sounds just like Thornton K.
At this point, then we go back to Greenlee and Adam. Adam gives Greenlee diamond earrings. And then she goes to take a bath. And then he don't join her. And she takes off her ring. And as she's taking off her ring, she looks at the moon. And Ryan is looking at the moon. And the boathouse.
Wait till you see today's episode. I don't know what it is about the moon. Today's episode is bad.
It's a moon theme.
It's a moon theme. Something about the moon.
So they're both looking at the moon together. It reminds me of Tad and Dixie, by the way. Looking on a star.
Yeah, but when Tad and Dixie did it, it was written right. And they did it right.
I know. So then some stupid
Yeah,
stuff
wait a minute. Greenlee and Ryan are no Tad and Dixie.
I didn't say that.
All right, let's just get that. I just thought about that for a minute. Let's get that straight.
I didn't say that, but what I'm about to say is that this whole storyline is so stupid. Because now we have Adam, who used to be the nicest guy in the world, bugging Greenlee's diamond earring.
Say what? What you say, Ashley?
No, he did not.
What did you say, Ashley?
What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Ashley?
I'm talking about Adam has put little tiny bugs in Greenlee's diamond earrings.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes.
Megan McTavish territory. That's all I'm going to say. This is exactly what I warned you about, Chuck Pratt. It's just like Megan McTavish. This is stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. Stupid.
It's, you know what it is? You know what it is?
What?
Stupid.
Oh, my God. He's bugging her earrings.
What the hell else happened? Please tell me that was it.
First of all, that is the most stupidest thing to bug, because how many women do you know wear the same earrings every day?
It is the most stupidest.
Would you wear the same earrings every day?
If they were diamonds that big, yes. Absolutely. I seriously would. Lord. In fact, people, I once bought these 3-carat fake diamond earrings. Mm-hmm. I wore them blingers every day, even on the subway. I didn't care. I was like, they fake, so if you want to steal them off my ears, you can have them.
Did somebody come up and go knock knock with your earrings?
My earlobes did drag a little.
Door knocker earrings.
They dragged a little bit.
She wears big door knocker earrings. I can put my hand right in them and go click, click.
Yeah.
It's like, did you ever see the Munsters? That.
Thank God they were not real diamonds, because my face would be all cut up.
They're like 13 Morgan Relay. And hello. Bleeding. Click, click, click.
So that's it for that. You want to talk about Adam and Baby JR? I do not. It makes me nuts. Oh, we talk about Opal though. We'll start. Okay. Babe and JR at the beginning of the week. We have to talk about them, so we'll do it. Babe and JR at the beginning of the week go to the comeback. And did Opal pull out her cards because she was freaked out by what happened with Petey? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So then Babe and JR make her read the cards, and she's like, in the worst fake acting ever, fake acting, because she's trying to be fake. Well, you know, everything is just dandy according to the cards.
That was very good, Ashley.
Can I have another root beer, please, Crystal? It was dumb. And then they leave all happy. And then Opal tells Crystal, oh, it's real bad. It's the Carrie women. One of ya or both of ya.
Obvious.
Tad tries to reassure Crystal, you know, but that everything's fine and she shouldn't worry about this craziness and that his mom is crazy and all that. But then doesn't Opal go visit them and then...
At the Chandler Mansion.
She cards and she like faints or something?
Yes, yes, yes.
I wrote that down.
Yeah, no, that happened. You didn't dream it. No, you didn't. It happened. It was real.
I blocked it.
It happened. I saw it.
And when she wakes up, JR and Babe try to reassure her. And JR kind of finally catches on. He's like, you really do need to relax, Opal. You know.
I know. And then I really don't like when they write JR like with this smug attitude to his country bumpkin relatives. I mean, Opal's like a surrogate grandmother to him. I mean, they make him so disrespectful to Petey and Uncle Palmer and Opal. And it's like, that's Dixie's family.
Yep.
This is what the writers are really getting on me, because they don't seem to realize that.
But you're not appreciating the brilliance in lines like this. Jordan Hudson.
Go ahead.
Opal says, everyone is in danger. Something bad's a-coming. Brilliance. Sheer poetry off the tongue.
And I'm going to tell you, why first was the card saying it was just the Carrie women, and now all of a sudden it's everybody?
Now it's everybody. Another thing.
Now all of a sudden it became everybody.
But don't you love when Opal's sitting at home with the cards, and all the cards go, whoosh, and they blow away?
You know what? If it was Dark Shadows, then I wouldn't mind. But this is not Dark Shadows. It's one thing to hint at something. It's another thing to give a little bit of a tease. But this was too over the top, taking a sledgehammer and banging our heads with this material. We get it, people. A danger's a-coming.
We got it.
The sky's falling. The sky's falling.
Noted. Duly noted.
I mean, how could you miss it? My God, it was all week.
Well, then we had
it was like a commercial for All My Children all week.
It really was. It was a commercial while the show was actually running. You're like, people, we're watching the show. You know what I'm saying? It didn't make no sense.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jill and I said, God bless you. I don't know. I guess you really need that paycheck for you and your little Asian daughter, because, like...
Well, listen. She her adopted Asian daughter.
Her adopted Asian daughter.
Listen, here's the thing. If we had to endure Adam and Erica making out, at least it was for a reason, because then it forced Erica to go run over to to Opal's house to talk to her.
Oh, I don't even want to get into those scenes again.
The only thing I said was Petey.
What?
When Petey meowed.
Petey, let me see. Petey saves a lot on that show.
He saves a lot.
They need to sign that little boy to a contract because he is the saving grace. He is like our Insani when they put the other characters in stupid situations. Because I didn't buy the whole Erica, Crystal, and Opal scenes.
Horrible.
I thought, why would Erica be dissing her friend Opal? Mm-hmm. Yes, your friend Opal is crazy with the cars, but you know that about her.
Yes.
The fact that she was so disrespectful to Opal in front of Crystal, I did not believe for 1 minute that's not Erica. She would not put Opal down like that after everything Opal's done and been there. See, this is what I'm talking about. Bad writing. He's not knowing right. The characters.
He's right, people. So Petey overhears and he masks, you know, the fact that he's been slinking around basically going, meow, meow. And Opal, of course, believes him. No, that's just it? Napoleon.
Yeah, Napoleon, I can't Napoleon.
So then Petey runs over to Cortland. He kisses Coldby, that turd Coldby. It's got to be said. Someone has to say it. Might as well be Ashley Mendoza.
Oh, and I've been pronouncing her name wrong. It's Brienne, not Brianna.
I know.
I thought
it was just thick, so I let you do it.
No.
Just like Frank Valentino.
But you know what? I like Brianna better. So, Brianne, you got to change your name.
Brianne. I have a friend named Brianne. It's no, nice. She's a nice girl.
But Brianna Mongrief goes better than Brianne. Yeah.
That does work better.
It's Brianna, honey.
All right, fine.
Change your name.
Fine. It could be a little French. So Petey goes, after Petey kisses Coldby, and she pretends to not like it, and but likes it. She pretends she's to like, pretend she's like it.
I don't like it.
She pretends to pretend not like it. That's what she did.
Yeah.
So then Petey, yeah, that noisy kissing again. Then Petey tells that my cable went out.
When?
I was so grateful on Thursday. I have DVR, and it was like, and kept like stopping and starting. I was like, yoo-hoo, I don't have to, because I never fast forward. I never fast forward.
SoapNet. Why didn't you tape it on SoapNet?
I never fast forward. We watch, so you don't have to.
But why didn't you catch it on SoapNet later that night?
Listen, I did my duty.
They showed it 3 times during the course of the night.
I did my duty. I don't want to
say that. I could say
that
you could see it in the weekend, but, you know, they canceled All My Children on the Weekend on SoapNet.
I know. It's debatable. Some people brought up a good point that might actually be a good thing. I think so. It forces the ratings to go up in the middle of the week.
No, if I can't catch it in the weekend, I miss out then. I missed out on a One Life to Live episode.
All right, fine. Well, I don't know what happened. All I know is I think Petey told Adam, right? Back at Opal, that's when the whole Crystal thing comes to visit. She's worried.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I mean, it just is the whole crazy thing. Gang. And the whole... I wrote my last note of the whole week was, I'm going out of my mind. We ended Friday. Oh, that's what we forgot. This is what happens. The whole Scooby gang defends Insani. We forgot to talk about that. Babe, JR, Little Leia, they all come in. They're defending Insani because Adam wants to throw her the hell out.
You know what I'm liking, though?
What?
It looks like they're setting up a JR Insani thing.
I want Insani like and Petey. That. I want Insani and Petey.
Really?
I
wouldn't mind Insani and Petey.
I think it's sexy.
I think Insani's going to have some choices once, you know...
When was the last time, tell me, because I wouldn't know. When was the last time you saw an older woman with a seriously younger man? Like a teenager, maybe. Was it Tad? Tad with, like, his older women?
No, honey. Guiding Light did it with Maureen and... Not Maureen, with Vanessa and what's his name? Reard and Matt. Ooh.
Like, scandalously young. Like, no, I would love that. I think Vanessa, that would be... People, am I right? I think that would be sexy.
Oh, and Azewell Turns is doing it right now.
She could, like, teach him.
No, Azewell Turns is doing it right now with... Oh, what's that skank? Emily and... what's his name? The little boy.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Azewell Turns is doing it, and they're hot. But he's not skinny geeky like.
But there's
Petey.
Something
he's
sexy about beefy Petey. Like when he kisses Coldby. But think about it. She could teach him for Coldby.
You're preaching to the choir. I would love Insani anyway, and Petey. I'm feeling me some JR and you know JR's gonna be free and like by the end of the month.
I think it's a little gross, but
Woo! Oh, by now they all know, don't they?
Yeah.
You all have to know who's dying.
We said it last week. Don't say.
Oh. You did.
Yes. Didn't you listen last week?
I told you I'm 3 podcasts behind.
Oh my God, he's 3 podcasts behind.
I have a lot of TV to watch.
But I gotta tell you the best part.
What?
David Hayward's stalker comes back. And he stalks on Little A. And little they don't see, hear.
I know. I was waiting for her to go like this. Grandpa? But he didn't.
He didn't.
Because he's a new actor. He don't know him.
I just thought it was a tragic shame because, you know, Spike is deaf and now we have a deaf, dumb, and mute little boy.
No, you are mean. The new little egg speaks.
I'm not talking about the actor. I'm talking about the character.
No, he speaks. He spoke this week. He said something funny.
But he didn't speak when the crazy man came. Clearly, he's been afflicted.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Swingtown is... Bravo bought the rights to Swingtown and they're going to air all 13 episodes, and supposedly CBS still hasn't given word on whether they're going to renew it or not, so there's still a slight chance. Bravo says they're not interested in paying for new episodes, but I'm hoping that they do. Either CBS renews it. If you guys check Swingtown out on Bravo when Bravo airs them, because Swingtown is phenomenal, people. Phenomenal. And Dirty Sexy Money is back. Oh my god,
I didn't see Mad Men last night. It was so good.
Oh my god, you didn't see Mad Men?
I didn't see it last night.
You didn't. You have AMC on demand?
I had DVR'd it.
Oh, you DVR. Oh my god, Mad Men was so... Oh my god. You don't understand. I was up to 1 a.m. I had to watch my shows because my brothers and sisters is back too. I love me some brothers and sisters, some Sally Field and some Calista Flockhart.
Ooh, that, and those crazy siblings.
I love that show. But Mad Men was phenomenal. My God.
I can't and wait. I read a review. The past two episodes, it's been a little subtle.
No. This was some insight into the wife and why she's like, whoo, whoo, whoo. And,
oh, but I hate that January Jones.
I love me some January
Dead
Jones.
Dead behind the eyes.
But I read a review. Adam Buckman in the Post was reviewing this episode and the next two. Supposedly the next two are supposed to be not missed. He says some dark stuff is going to happen and it's... It's going to be some twisted stuff. He said the next two episodes of Mad Men are not to be missed.
Do you want to do... Do we have time for you to do Your One Life to Live 2 minutes?
Yes.
Go.
One Life to Live is a better show. Watch it. I'm sorry, it is. Ron, you're a fabulous writer.
Carlovati.
And hottie, Frank Valentini. Ooh, Frank, you're so hot. Anyway, I love me some One Life to Live. Dorian Robin Strasser has to get Best Actress on a soap. She has been phenomenal. Her and A. Martinez has so much chemistry. And all this is coming to a head as now Dorian knows the truth. That Clint is behind Ray Montez coming to Landview to claim his niece. And there is going to be all hell to pay. I have to go home tonight to watch One Night to Live because let me tell you something. Robin Strasser is fabulous. And those sex scenes between Gigi and Rex and those shower scenes with Brody, One Night to Live is hot. Hot, hot. And Marty found out the truth, but Todd had like his face changed, so she does not realize that this is Todd that raped her.
Ooh.
And I read in the Daily News that at the end of this week, Jared finds Natalie down in the basement. But why that doesn't Natalie mean she's going to get out. I know. I don't like Natalie. She Thank annoys me. You. I'm loving me some tests.
Well, listen, thank you for spending your time with us.
Watch today's episode because they broke out with Stuart finally with the most stupid scenes about the moon. I don't know what is this obsession that Chuck Pratt has with the moon. I know he was trying to be very poetic, but I was like... The only thing that was exciting was the fact that Susan Lucci's breasts were popping out of her... Wait till you see that outfit she had on today's episode.
I can't wait.
I gotta tell you, that woman is hot for a woman her age. Because only she could carry that outfit on.
All right, people. We have run our course. We thank you for being with us. I would like to make a special thanks again to Mr. Luis, who did that fabulous intro for us. We
thank you, love Luis.
his intros. It makes our show, I think.
Where's Alejandro? Where are you? I have not been seeing you on the blog lately.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen you, Alejandro.
Are you doing, are you in midterms or something? Where are you? I want to talk some Aswell turns.
Alejandro's in Dubuque. Dubuque? Taylor Crawford.
Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think that's what he said, right, Alejandro? Yep, all right, we Latins really have to go. There really are Latins in Dubuque. We're everywhere. We're taking over the world. If you would like to email me, I'm afraid to give you it, but if you must, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. Or you can go to the MySpace page and leave nice comments. Please. You break my heart. www.myspace.com/Pie Valley Podcast. Be nice, people. My mama always said, you catch more honeys with, more flies with honey than with vinegar. It's true, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. You can link to the blog site and leave your comments. You could go to our partner site. You could do all that good stuff. Also, too, you can find us on iTunes. And remember, you can only leave 5 stars on iTunes as our rating. Otherwise, your computer will break. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Here's a little something just for you.
Woo! What? I mean, have I got some sign on my head that says bamboozle me or sprinkle fairy dust in my face?
Oh, Opal, come on. I wanted you to be happy. You weren't happy unless you were with PC. I'm your friend.
You are no friend of mine, Madam Judas. You have been in cahoots with the devil since day one.
Now, if you will just calm down, I'll be glad to explain.
Grab another Ouija board and then summon up the spirit of somebody that didn't even dead?
What was I supposed to do? Stand around here, watch you destroy your family?
Me?
Yes.
Me? I am not the destroyer here. That title belongs to he who did the horizontal mambo with Janet Green.
I have spent months begging forgiveness. One last plea, and then that's it. I quit no more.